right, happy 4th of July 2016. My name is Gijs Minderhout, located in Magalia, California. We get together every Monday evening around this time with a bunch of people on the conference call, and we connect with BBS Radio, so we are broadcast worldwide live. Thank you for being here and joining with us. I have not seen tonight's announcement yet. I do not know what the topic is.
It's about getting over guilt and shame.
All right. Let's get over it. Yeah, I see it. We've had very interesting topics on the Monday evening calls. These are all available in the recordings, which you can find online at spiritchannel.net. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn.
Hello, Marilyn. How are you?
Hi, nice. I'm going to star six myself. I've got background noise.
All right. Hey, thank you for being here, Marilyn.
Thank you.
All right. All right. All right, so 4th of July, and good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Ohio.
Hello, Shirley. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Prudence in North Carolina.
Hey, welcome. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
All right. Awesome. All right. Just going to play a little tune so more people join in. And they'll be here shortly, but only 1 minute away from the hour.
The rain is pouring down like all the souls you send here. Coming to this earth to find healing. Mother Earth takes in the rain.
Helicopter.
Like your heart takes my voice. Let us free each other with our prayers, with our voice.
It was just a message in between. In the meantime, it is 6 o'clock. I welcome all you folks on BBS Radio. Thank you for being here. I know Wynn will be here shortly. Wynn Free, who's running the show. And as was said earlier, tonight he will be talking about guilt, shame, attachments, and how to get these. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don. Welcome to the call. How are you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Doing well, yes.
Right. Glad to hear it.
Hi, so what was that song?
That was from one of those mantras
What is it?
Let me take shortly. Hold on. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and look.
You're Rick, Iowa City.
Hi, Rick. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. Who else joined in?
Hi, this is Deb in Oregon.
Hi, Deb. Welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, Gail in New Jersey.
Good evening to you, Gail.
Hi. Happy 4th.
Happy 4th. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Hello, Terry in Sedona. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. The little piece of mantra song I just played was from mantra music from Om Namo by Snatham Kaur.
How do you spell that?
S from Sam, N from Nancy, A from Apple, T from Tom, A from Apple, M from Mary, and then K from Kate, A from Apple, U from Universe, R from Richard. It's a 13-minute YouTube clip that they provide with mantra music.
Oh, okay.
We had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Only if you want to, we welcome you. All right. So I think Vin will be here shortly, Terry, right?
Right. He should be here any minute.
All right. I see the helicopter is coasting there. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. My pleasure. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Wynn.
Hello, Wynn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
By the way, the recording was, I do see the recording from last week, Wynn.
You don't see it? You do?
I do, yes.
Okay. You know what? Robin told me, but I didn't check, okay?
Okay.
She said she couldn't download it, so I take it all back.
All right, then.
It's Robin's fault. Terry, are you on the line?
Yeah.
Yes.
Calling Terry.
Yes, he is. He is here. He's probably muted.
Are you muted, Terry? We're so professional.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Joni, St. Louis.
Hi, Joni. Welcome to the call.
Okay, hi, Joni. Hi, Joni.
Hi, Wynn. How many people do we have on the line tonight?
It's not numbers, it's quality.
That's right.
Quality is super, believe me. We had somebody else join in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to. We do welcome you.
Gilbert, Central Florida.
Gilbert, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. And welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. But only if you want to. I'm going to turn the dings off.
Let's get started. But we still don't hear Terry. Terry, are you there? Terry, where are you?
All right. Welcome all the folks on BBS Radio. Thank you so much for joining in with us. We'll be...
I'm just going to go look and see where Terry is. She's not answering.
She's here.
You're there?
I am.
Well, how come you're not answering?
Well, by the time I unmute, then you're talking about something else, and so I remute.
I see. Well, you need a brush here on the university, I think. Right?
Okay.
All right. Okay. Is everybody muted? Everyone's
not
muted?
Yet. Hold on a sec.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is July 4th, 2016. And yesterday we played a bunch of fireworks, but we don't have them for today. So we'll have to manage. But thank you all for being here. And, you know, we keep talking about doing this call on the Christ consciousness, which I think will be a very important call. And I asked Terry, I said, can we do it tonight? And she said, well, I'm nervous. And she wants to do it not live, okay? And I think that's a good idea. I was thinking of doing it that way. You know, some of the things we come up with are really controversial. And it's like when we do this call, we, how would we say it? You know, I don't usually censor things. And even the Elohim and Ra groups will, I won't use the word censor, but they will avoid certain topics. Are we recording? Yeah, we're recording, yeah. They will avoid certain topics because, you know, there's two aspects to one's growth. One is your belief system. And the belief system is, well, what do you believe? What do you believe? You know, the people that are coming to our calls all the time have belief systems. Now, they're not really belief systems. Well, they are and they're not, okay? I mean, we're developing new ways of understanding how the universe works. And they contradict or overshadow, like an over-umbrella, over-arch is a better word, most traditional ways of understanding how things work. And you could call it a belief, but I think it goes beyond belief because there's a lot of evidence that we've got it right, but it's certainly not in the consensus. So when you come to the conclusion that it's correct, you probably have tracked our calls for quite some time. I don't believe anybody could agree with it out of the box. Nobody. Even Carla Ruckert, I was afraid if she listened to our calls that maybe she would dump us because maybe it would conflict her belief system. And our sources are very, very respectful of people's belief systems. And so when somebody's channeling, they will avoid going into something when it violates somebody's belief system and forces them to reconsider their belief system. So to give an example, Carla was channeling the Ra group for 3 years. And then she was channeling Quo. And she also went to church every Sunday. And Jesus was her main person. She was a Christian and she loved Jesus. And here she is channeling the Ra group, and I've made the connection. They never made this to her. There wasn't even the hint of this anywhere in her sessions. But I drew the conclusion that the Ra group was connected to Jesus. And well, it didn't start out as a conclusion. It started out as a speculation. And I kept working on that speculation, and it gets more and more and more refined to where I'm pretty sure that's true. And we've had in the past a number of calls where we've talked about Jesus, and we've talked about how Jesus was connected to the Ra group. Because there's a lot of evidence pointing in that direction. And you have to hear all the evidence. But yet, if you say that to the wrong person, it sounds like it's taking something away from Jesus or from God or whatever, because it's not in their belief pattern, okay? And so in those kind of circumstances, I will avoid it, and our sources will avoid it. But we have gotten the awareness of our regulars up to a high enough point where it's something that fits like the missing puzzle piece. But I don't think Terry doesn't want to do a live channeling on it. And I can see the wisdom in that because we don't, everything we say, everything we do can be quoted. People can take things out of context. See, it's very interesting because we had Terry Friedman as a regular participant on our calls. And he never really, even though I told him, he never made the connection with Jesus and the Ra group, okay? Although all his stuff, many of the things he said corroborate the idea. It's just that it wasn't in his connection with Jesus in a personal way was so strong that he might have felt it was, how would I say it? Conflictual, challenging. Although he never objected. He was on our calls and heard me talk about it. And of course, I could easily say that he was the reincarnation of Matthew. And I believe that. There was a huge amount of evidence to that. But in any case, that's why we're delaying that. And we'll do a private session on it, and then we'll make sure everything is okay to put out on that private session, so that no one that's listening to my calls, anyone listening to this recording, no one has to change their relationship to Jesus, because I say the Ra group was connected to Jesus. You know, in the law of one, that if Jesus is connecting to the Ra group, and the Ra group is connecting to the one infinite creator, and Jesus is manifesting that, it's just a more refined way of understanding how the energy steps down from source. And for example, like even with Fred talking about his angels and his helpers, the Elohim have said that they don't, that there's a whole, somebody asked the question last Wednesday, what happens if there is a mass of some catastrophe and masses of people should die, are the higher sources prepared to handle that?
And they said, you know, that was an unusual question, and the answer was unusual. They said that there's a whole team of angelic beings in the lower levels that would handle that kind of event, and that they're more than well staffed to do it, okay? So what we're getting here is the more we go, the more clear we get the picture of the invisible realms. And it's invisible, so we can't prove it. But it has to fit in some way, shape, or form. It has to make sense. It has to expand our understanding. One of the values of getting this is that as you get the understanding, you learn how to focus your calling to request assistance from the other side. Like, can you imagine right now you have a multiplicity of beings all around you just because you're on this call? Now, you may have it when you're off the call, but just feel it. I mean, the Ra group said this in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. They said it outright. We have a multitude of beings away, surrounding you and working with you. And the Elohim doesn't say that, but the Ra group says it. And so one of the things is just imagining that that's true. Just imagine it. And in the course of your day, say, okay, there's a multiplicity of beings around me. I'm ready to receive. I love you. Thanks for being there. And experiment with it, because you have to develop a relationship with this invisible team. And you see the people doing that on this call. You see Terry doing it. You see me doing it. You see Fred doing it. And I learn from Fred. I learn from Terry, because it's all invisible. So you have to tune into it in reverse, by reverse engineering and looking at how things work. In other words, they're invisible, but we are one of the luckiest groups on the planet, because they verbally talk to us, and we hear how they express things, and we've been doing it for a long time now, and you start to get the feeling of their energy, of how they work, and it's really bloody amazing. I'm not even British, but, you know, we come on these calls and you feel this energy around you. You think, could that be the Ra group? Well, would you imagine something jumping off your elbow saying, hi, yeah, we're here, that's us. I don't know if you ever saw it. There was this picture that somebody took of me at a conference where I was talking. And there was this huge, beautiful, turquoise blue orb on my elbow, okay? And I didn't see it when I was with my eyes, but when I saw it in the picture, it kind of blew my mind. And we did a channeling, and I asked them, I said, can you explain that blue orb? And they said, well, that was a member of the Ra group in the room with you. Now, I can't explain. It's as good an explanation as any. Now, does that mean I have to give up my power to the Ra group for the rest of my life? No. It's co-creative. They're helping. We're helping them. Why are they there? They're helping lower levels evolve. We're lower level. Even though some of you came from higher levels, everyone gets trapped here, including me, including Terry. So, it's like we're unencumbering ourselves from the trap. And they did that. They had bodies, and they unencumbered themselves. And they said there was a group soul that was helping them when they were stuck in a body. And so this is amazing insight as to how everything works. And these things that we think are so big and unapproachable and incomprehensible, suddenly they're sitting with us. They're sitting virtually in our lap or on our shoulders or in our hearts. And these energies come in, and many of you are feeling them, okay? I'm not going to say everybody, but many of you are feeling them. And it's what a blessing it is to be able to have that experience in this realm. And what a blessing it is for Terry and myself, and I would include Hives, because he's getting it, to be able to be sharing that with all of you, and that so many of you are getting it. And I'm not doing it. I'm just showing up. We're just showing up. I probably don't deserve credit, but I get credit for showing up. So, you know, I was thinking about what are the things that can block us from receiving, tuning into these energies in the higher realms, these intelligent, conscious group souls beings. And I came up with lots of things, but one thing that we don't usually talk about is guilt and shame. And I thought it would be a good topic because almost everybody has guilt and shame. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it from my human perspective. And then if Terry's okay with it, we'll do a little session and talk to our sources about guilt and shame. Is that okay, Terry, you think? Hello, Terry. Are you still muted? Hi, Terry. Okay, well, we'll see if she's there when we're ready for her, okay? Hang on a second here. I'm still here. I'm just checking to make sure I'm on the line. Okay, so we all have a track, and we don't know, most of us don't know what our track is. And it's kind of a mystery. And we all find ourselves with this awareness in our bodies at present time. And it's a very good illusion because it seems like that's all there is, this awareness of you in a body. And then you have this experience of feeling expanded as happens on these calls. And you try to implement that expansiveness in your own life. And some of you have been successful at it. And many people get stuck. And one of the reasons people get stuck is because of guilt and shame. It's one of the reasons. It's a major reason for many people. It's like guilt and shame make you feel unworthy. Now, sometimes you've actually done things in past lifetimes, and you're still processing, and you could call that karma if you want to, but you're still processing something you've done in a past life or many past lifetimes. other times something has been done to you, whether it's in this life or a past life. For example, if you were brought up in an environment where there was abuse, where you were sexually molested, where any of people made fun of you, and do you know, one can easily start integrating feelings of guilt and shame, even though you didn't do anything. Somebody did it to you. If you were sexually molested, you didn't do anything. Somebody used force to put their energy into your body, and it makes you feel ashamed. How do you overcome that? What do you do to lose that shame? Because that shame will block your energy. It will block your access to expanding. And it'll make you, when you're around other people, not feel fully present with them because you don't feel worthy. And here you are, part of the one infinite creator in a physical body, and you've learned that in your mind, and you even had smidgets of experiencing it, and you're still trying to work through your feelings of being worthy. And you have to look at yourself really deeply to see if this is an issue that's true for you. May not be true for everybody, but if it's true for you, the question is, how do you face it? How do you get on the other side of it? And you could say it's karma, you've done all this stuff, so you're paying it back. But you know, karma only exists at a lower timeline. Once you expand your timeline above this timeline, and you get into higher realms where you have grace and all kinds of stuff, you are at least for the moment above your karma. Doesn't mean you're permanently above it, but it's a start. It's a start because karma doesn't exist as an absolute. It's a relative. It's a relative program running in your consciousness. And that when you move above the program, then the impact of karma is not there. So whatever you did in your past lives is not there. But it comes and goes. When you usually start doing this kind of work, when you start, you're still in your karma. And then you start having experiences of being above your karma. And then the karma comes back. And you go back and forth. But if you're diligent and you're really working on yourself, you're on an upward spiral where the karma aspect gets less and less, and your ability to be a divine co-creator in this realm gets more and more. And that's what I want to explore today on this July 4th. And I still don't hear Terry. Let me go see where she is.
I'm here.
Oh, you didn't answer me before.
Well, I was roaming around and I took my phone with me and then I left my phone somewhere.
I see. Did you hear what I was saying?
Everything you said, I heard.
Okay. Because it's important, because if we do a channeling, they're listening, and I think they have to hear me through you, okay? So, are you ready?
Okay. Not really, but go ahead. At least I'm here.
That means no.
Well, I say, well, we'll see what happens, okay?
Okay.
Father, Mother God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls, and we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one, the infinite creator. We are with each and every one of you and are delighted to be with you this evening, this 4th of July. 2016, we, as you were speaking, were listening, and we realize that we are made up, we are made up of members of the Ra group and members of the Elohim group. However, there is a difference between the energy of the Elohim and of the Ra group. The Ra group is more individualized based upon their experience of being separate and unique. The Elohim, us, are able to flow in and out of situations and locations without barriers or individualizations. We thought that was an interesting distinction. As one lives in the third density, they bring in the frequencies not only of the area of the complex, the social memory complex, the group, the tribe, the individuation in the body, and then there is a memory of that, and this memory is carried by members of the Ra group. We thought that was an interesting distinction that we realized while you were talking.
Well, one of the things I've come to sense is that, at least this is from my perspective, when somebody makes a connection with the energies of the Ra group and or the energies of the Elohim group, it really is a real connection. It can become a real relationship. But it's not like a human relationship from one human to another. Maybe you could explain the differences in the relationship.
Well, we as the Elohim have the ability to combine as an energy force or to disband as an energy force. We have the ability to thus, if we need more power, to combine more of us and then to release back into the energies that we are composed of. We have the ability to get very big, to get bigger than the Earth when one has had a lifetime in the third density, they tend to remember that lifetime parameters as what binds them, bounds them, makes the barriers towards expansion. They forget that they have the ability to extend as big as the universe or as small as a molecule or an atom. They forget that they have less limitations, and they think they have the limitations of size. They get used to limitations in size. So it seems very strange to them to be able to expand however big they are capable of. As one goes through a lifetime and establishes boundaries, then they tend to remember those boundaries as something that will limit them in the future.
Now, when the Elohim comes together as a group to have more power, like how many? There's multi-millions of individual Elohim souls, am I correct? Hundreds of millions, perhaps?
Right. However, they have, each one has the ability to focalize or to simply flow into the whole,
mm-hmm.
to become the lightning, to become the storm. Go ahead.
When you're talking to us right now, obviously your energy is really huge and you're expanding to everyone who's listening, who's open to it.
Yes, but our energy is much smaller in that it is limited, even though it is still very large.
Mm-hmm. Like, what's the limitation?
The spherical envelope needed to focalize energy and to include each person on the
mm-hmm.
line.
How many individuated Elohim souls approximately come together when you're talking to us?
We do not look at it as limiting to say that there are 1,600 or 3,200. We do not look at it that way. We look at the ability to combine as one and then to release
mm-hmm.
our energies.
Now, when we're talking about guilt and shame, those are, I imagine, qualities that the Elohim never experience. Am I correct?
We try not to.
Mm-hmm.
Although some people try to put it on us, like, how could God allow certain bad things to happen? And they try
mm-hmm.
to blame us.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a whole different way of looking at things, the way we feel that the God force looks at things, which includes everything, and it includes all factors. So when you include all factors involved in any one thing, then it makes sense.
Now, I would assume the Ra group, and some of the Ra group are on a part of this conglomerate right now, the Ra group well understands guilt and shame because they went through all their lifetimes experiencing
that. Yes, it is one of the limiting factors that one needs to get past. In a different way of looking at things helps because when one is able to look at all factors involved, one can see the overall picture and realize that that is only a localized feeling that does not take everything into account.
Mm-hmm. So when someone is stuck in an area of guilt and shame, and if part of the RAW group wants to come forth and help to answer this, it's fine with me. If one is stuck in the patterns of guilt and shame, how can one work on that to release those patterns?
I was just going to say,
particularly when some of them come from things they did in past lifetimes that they can't remember, or they experienced in past lifetimes, because it's my experience that you can feel those things because of things that were done to you, like abuse. And how does one release it?
Thank you. Shame has something to do with society and how society views things, how the individual himself views things, what their belief systems are, how they have been made wrong for something that they have done that may not have even been wrong. One can get stuck in multitudes of belief systems. It is very limiting for the person and creates an atmosphere or environment for the person where they do not want to reach out any longer. They want to withdraw. And because generally people are very good and they do not want to inflict bad results on other people in general. So if they consider that they have done bad and that they might be bad or untrustworthy in the future, they tend to limit themselves, make themselves smaller, contract down into a lesser person, have not as great experiences, tend not to want to reach out and connect with others or experience the giving that another can give to them for fear that they would corrupt it or somehow take advantage.
Let's look at one of the things that I brought up, which a person becomes a victim even when they're young. Let's just say sexual abuse or pedophilia. They become a victim, and they feel it was dirty. They have this other person's energy in their body. They don't want anyone to know about it. Like, how does that person work with all of that and clear it?
It is a double-edged sword, because then they find themselves with resentments and hostilities and withdrawals that they then judge themselves for. So if a person has had abuse in the past, it can tend to simply, in a similar circumstance, appear, even though the circumstances are different, and their belief and what will happen to them if they do X, Y, Z can send them off on a track that is not healthy and, again, makes them feel more unworthy. Just the shame of something and not wanting to expose it can make them feel unworthy and withdraw from the whole area. So what do they do? So
let me just insert this question.
Ahead.
will they tend to attract people in relationships who might be abusive to them because they had that when they were growing up?
Definitely. They expect it, and so they would gravitate towards people that made their expectations come true in a world that is how they believe it was, and so then they would gravitate toward people that took advantage, take advantage in the future of them. There's also the flip side. How did they end up in that situation? Did they, in some past, do it to someone else?
Is that a normal situation, that when someone is growing up in an abusive environment, that oftentimes they did it in the past, and that's how it got attracted to them?
They would have chosen the parents. They would have chosen the situation. It doesn't always work that way, as they may have chosen wisely, but then not seeing all the circumstances. And their belief systems may get shattered when the perpetrator then begins to express their perversions.
If a person can find someone that can truly love them beyond all of this stuff, is that an accomplishment that can help clear this pattern?
Yes, it can, as they begin to have a situation where they realize more and more that they can be open in their relationship and express their love and not get taken advantage of.
But can you go further in explaining, if a person can identify this as being true for them, what, and they're sitting there saying, I don't want this to be true for me, but it is, what can they do? What can they proactively do to help them clear the pattern?
They can leave any situation of abuse, can figure out how to set themselves up with a clean situation, can work with a therapist that can clear them of the past trauma. It would need to be a psychologist or individual that is chosen wisely so they do not fall into further abuse from a psychologist or someone that is helpful. For instance, someone may go to their priest. However, the priest may have been causing abuse within his own parish for the boys. And so one needs to be very, very wise and careful in who they choose to even tell.
How about the quality of forgiveness? If someone abused you, does forgiving them, truly forgiving them, help clear the pattern?
Forgiving them as far as letting the trauma go, letting the situation go, so that they are able to step outside of the situation and not this does not mean accepting the procedure or the abuse that has happened. It still can make the person very angry when they step into the memory of that. One can step out of the memory of that and build experiences outside of that memory. And this will help them make the memory smaller and smaller and diminish the memory and see that there are other good influences out there that do not abuse.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing, we got about 3 minutes left, so I got to make a short answer. But let's suppose someone has done despicable things in previous lives, like murdered or killed people. Now, I read one time somewhere, it says, the guy is going to war, and he really believes it's noble to kill the enemy, but he doesn't get karma for it because he did it with such... Even if he was tricked and fooled inside himself, he was doing it for high purposes. But let's suppose someone has killed people in their past lifetimes. And obviously, if one is attempting to clear their track, they could have a lot of guilt over that subconsciously. Could you give your comments on that kind of situation?
Yes, it would depend upon what belief system he was left with. If he believes that he acted shamefully and wrongly and unethically, then this will stay with him because there's a hook on the energy. It's got him. And if he believes that he had done it in total ethics and honorably, then he may just walk away with the expression that he has protected his honor. Looking at it from the criminal side, if an abuser is killed or murdered, they can look at it as an honorable death because they have finally had ethics put in on that. They have finally been stopped from creating havoc and destruction, which some part of them may know was wrong.
You know, there's a lot of interesting questions that come up here, like, let's suppose you have some person of a religious belief who some Arabs have this idea of jihad, or it's okay to sacrifice yourself and kill other people because that's God's will. What happens karmically when somebody does that?
It depends on the belief system of the person that is committing the jihad. If they are expecting 17 virgins and the love of the Creator, and then they may be sorely disappointed and lost in a blankness or a realm without love.
So when they come back and take another body, they're probably going to be a little bit screwed up because of this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There is a certain thing, trust is needed for the building of society. And if someone is breaking trust with the people around them, even just in walking down the street and creating a situation of death and destruction, they are creating terrible havoc in the life of the people who are trusting walking down the street. Then in another life, these people may come back who have been so destroyed and then seek to rain destruction on others, like a like a computer virus that gets in the computer, and the computer of the mind just reacts. If I walk down the street, I'm going to be blown up. I'll blow up the other guy first. Or so it is. There's a contagion of hatred and violence.
Thank you. You know what? I think that's all we have time for tonight. It's, I don't know, if you're on BBS, you're going to get cut off any moment. But I thank you so much for coming forth and sharing that with us. And maybe we'll continue this at another time, because it's a really big topic. And everyone, the people on our line are fairly conscious aware, and they really want to clear these patterns, and I want to give them the tools to do it. So on that note, do you have any final comments before we say goodbye?
Living a loving and ethical life builds trust and builds a good future for individuals.
Okay. Well, that's a good conclusion. Thank you. I'm going to unmute everybody just a second here. How do I unmute you? Hang on.